This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Got milk? Well, back in the day, that answer involved milk trucks driving door to door, delivering that all-important staple right to your home. Twin Pines, Seal Test, Washtenaw Dairy, Guernsey Farm, and more. These companies sent hardy little delivery trucks out each day, serving up home delivery of milk, cream, eggs, and cheese. Well, those snub-nosed delivery trucks turn out to have deep roots in Detroit. Writer George Belanda looked into the history of the milk trucks for his story. You can find it in the current issue of Our Detroit magazine. It's called Built to Deliver. Good to have you with us, George.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Just a few days ago, George, I was thinking back to my parents' friend, Bill, from Dearborn. He was a milkman for Twin Pines, and the truck would come home at night. And I remember when we would visit, and I was a little girl, I thought it was so cool that this milk truck was right here, and thinking how sorry I am that they've pretty much vanished. And then I discover that you and I get to talk today about the history of these trucks. What led you to want to write about them?
Well, I did not know until maybe 10 years ago that these DIVCO trucks, and DIVCO stands for Detroit Industrial Vehicle Company, that they were made in Detroit. So I started looking into it, and sure enough, they were built originally on Fort Street, then Merrick Street, then they were taken over by Continental Motors on East Jefferson. And they made engines for all kinds of companies, but I think Hudson Motor Company was their biggest client. But they used with DIVCO, and they were built there until about 1937 when a new plant was built on Hoover Road in Warren. It was a brand new plant, and in 1939 was the beginning of that familiar snub-nose vehicle that all these milk trucks had. And the headlamps were round. And if you want to get an idea, if people are a little too young to remember them, they can look in the Our Detroit magazine and see a picture of it.
Yeah, you've got the assembly line. There's a picture of the little truck. And that's clearly a vintage picture, but it really didn't change much from the trucks that I remember growing up in the 50s and the 60s. And these trucks from DIVCO were engineered differently than other delivery trucks, say, from the automakers, right? They were really engineered for the stops and starts they'd have to make?
Yes, they were purpose-built, meaning they were almost like tanks. They had heavy-duty brakes and axles and alternators. And I was reading on a chat room, these milkmen were reminiscing, and they said, you know, those DIVCOs rarely broke down because they were engineered specifically for that constant stopping and starting, because those trucks would stop at many, many homes on streets. You mentioned Twin Pines, and that was the creamery that we had. And I still remember our milkmen's names. We had Dean and Alex. I think it was probably about 3-4 times a week that they would trudge up the driveway, open the milk chute, and drop off the milk.
I vividly remember the milk chute at our house in Ferndale as well, until finally time moved on and my mother would send me over to the local AMP to get all the kinds of things she needed. And I can remember when my dad painted the house, he eventually painted over the milk chute. So that was the end of the milk chute.
Yeah, if you mention the words milk chute to the younger generation, they probably will draw a blank. They don't know what that is, never mind a coal chute. But you mentioned the A&P, and that was partly what killed the home delivery of milk by and large, because more women were entering the workforce. They couldn't stay home and wait for delivery because the milk would sour. Grocery stores were staying open later. The milk was probably a little cheaper there. And there was the ascendancy of two-car families. Even if you were a stay-at-home mother, you could use the car and do your own shopping at a grocery store. Those were all factors in why the DIVCO and all these creameries either went out of business or retooled.
There are very few of them, but they do exist. I was kind of looking them up as I knew we were going to talk. There are still a few of these dairy companies that will do home delivery, won't they?
They will. I just saw one the other day. I think it was called Country Fresh or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then you see these Schwann trucks, too, these yellow trucks. I mean, they deliver meals. They deliver ice cream. I mean, they really diversified to stay in business.
I got to wonder, and maybe you don't know this, but why the little snub nose? It's cute. It makes it very appealing looking. Was there a design thing or an engineering reason for it, or was it just because?
I think it was just because they wanted a particular look, and that was it. And it remained unchanged for decades. I think the only other vehicle that went beyond it, as far as remaining essentially unchanged, was the VW Beetle. You could look at a 1949 Beetle and a 1969 Beetle, and it's essentially unchanged, just very minor changes. And that's what happened to these snub-nosed milk trucks. I guess the feeling was, why change with something that's a hit and that's so recognizable to all of our customers?
George, as you talked with people for this story you did for Our Magazine on the milk trucks, what kind of response did you get?
One of the fellows I spoke with is Tony Salvaggio, who runs Point Dairy Services. It's a distributor for Sanders and Calder Dairy and Tropicana and all these different companies. And his father used to drive a Seal Test and then a Borden's truck. And so he wanted to buy an old Divco. He finally found one in Arizona. It was a 1965 one that he had renovated. And he uses it kind of as a mascot, an advertising vehicle. And he said people come up to him and say, I remember this, you know, truck exactly like this would come down my street every day. And I said, well, Tony, what about the young people? And he said, they're just as interested. They say, you know, what is this? And another fellow I talked with, John Rienzo, actually wrote a book about the history of Divco, and he's a librarian for the Divco Club of America, which has about 500 members, he told me. He owns six. They're not all snub-nosed, because they did make other models. Some of them were vans, some of them were a little bigger, but he owns six Divcos. And I said, well, how did you ever get interested in this? And he said, my grandfather delivered milk in Queens all his life. So there was that nostalgic connection.
A great dose of nostalgia, really taking us back. That is so true. George Belanda's look back at the history of the Detroit-made Divco milk truck can be found in the current issue of Our Detroit magazine. George, thank you so much for the trip down memory lane.
Well, thank you. We should toast over a glass of milk.